Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Wow, I remember that IC crash so well. I can't believe it's 50 years.
50 years.
I can't believe
it. How about it?
50 years ago that happened. I used to take the IC train, the Illinois Central. I was living on the southeast side in South Shore, and I worked at the great A&P grocery store in Hyde Park. So I would take the IC, you know, to Hyde Park every day. And, you know, you get to know people on the train. You see them on the train every day. Other friends of mine, you know, took it. And I actually lost a friend who was on that train.
Really?
Was killed in that horrible crash.
As you say, 50 years ago, it is hard to imagine. It is good that they're having a memorial today, this taking place at the First Unitarian Church of Chicago, where the victims, survivors, and first responders will be remembered. Yeah. It's good to do this because it kind of faded from public consciousness for a while and then came back. So it's good to do this.
Yeah, I agree. And wow, that Wally Phillips sound that you had.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Evidently, not much after, only minutes after the accident happened, the caller called into Wally, and things went from there. And as Dean, as you probably remember, broadcasters dropped everything that day. And it was really almost wall-to-wall coverage.
All hands on deck.
For that, yes.
And, you know, it was, you know, this was 1972, you know, just the beginning of, I guess, what you might call interactive radio. But Wally had really kind of pioneered picking up the phone and talking to people. Not a lot of radio was doing that. And, you know, Wally already had a rapport with his audience and, you know, people calling up on the phone. Hi, Wally, you know, for different
That's
things.
That's right. Sure.
But, you know, that people listened to Wally Phillips religiously. He was, for those of you maybe too young to know, Wally Phillips was he did the morning show here on WGN and maybe was one of the most popular broadcasters in the history of Chicago radio. The Wally Phillips show was a behemoth of, you know.
An average of 2 million daily.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And so everyone listened to Wally. Everyone of a certain age, everyone's like our age, you know, our parents listened to Wally. And we all grew up listening to Wally. So it was not unusual that when there was something going on, no matter what it was, somebody would call Wally Phillips and have an eyewitness report of, you know, what was happening. So I'm not surprised that Wally talked about it. I am surprised that we still have the tape.
Oh, the audio.
Recording.
Something else I wouldn't be surprised at all is that the person who called in, whose name was Leo, he wasn't the only person that called in that morning and during the day that day.
Yep. Wow. History. Chicago history.
The worst such accident in the history of the city.
Yeah. 350 people injured, 45 killed.
Right.
That day. Horrible. And what a cheery note to start today's broadcast on.
Well, as I said, it is good to remember something like this. Yeah. But
I agree.
You know, that was, as I say, that was the news for the rest of the week that week.
Yeah. So I've got some details about our big tree time broadcast.
2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from this moment, we will be beginning our annual holiday spectacular out at Tree Time in Lake Barrington that most of us will be attending this year.
Is this on?
Not all of us will be there this year.
I'll be here, sitting right at this chair.
Well, that does us no good out there.
Well, you can still talk to me.
We'll see.
I don't want to feel completely left out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
You can still say my name.
We have lots of things. Well, Shawnee has to say it at least once. But you can sit here and talk with your new friends, Hamp and OB.
Big guys, you know.
Yes, they are. Fortunately, you can outrun both of them.
9:15.
Good morning, everybody. Sad news about The Killer. The great Jerry Lee Lewis passing away this week.
So kind. Tell this world that you're mine.
How groundbreaking was this? Put together a song like this back in the Pat Boone era of music. 1957.
It's just great.
Listen to this man hammering on that piano. Groundbreaker.
I had a friend who had an older sister who had the original 45 of this.
Wow.
And I remember when we were being the pioneering broadcasters, we were in Highland, Indiana, playing various records in our pretend radio stations. He brought this one over and a couple others.
Oh, see.
Little did I know when I was 10 years old that this was the pioneering hit that it was.
When you were 10 years old, the song was already about 10 years old.
No.
Right?
Right? No, I was a year old when this song came out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I mean, that when you were doing your pretend radio station, the song was already an oldie.
Oh, yeah.
Like you are now.
Thank you.
And I am.
Yeah, you are older than I am.
Yeah, I know. I will point
be quick
that out.
To point that out.
Well, you do every
single
time.
And we'll continue to do so.
That's fine. I don't mind. Dynamic. It's a badge of honor. I'm a survivor. I will survive. Yeah, sad news. 87 years old. Not in the greatest of health. He was inducted into the country. Jerry Lee Lewis inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame just about 10 days ago and was unable to attend the ceremony because he's had the flu. You know, when you're 87 with the flu, that's not good. So he sadly succumbed to all of that. He was one of the original inductees, the first group to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Was he among the first?
Yep.
Okay.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Well, that makes sense, him being, you know.
Not without his share of controversies.
Oh, yes, very true.
You know, you marry your 13-year-old cousin, and that's going to happen.
Wasn't there a movie, Great Balls of Fire?
Yes, there was.
That was about his life?
Dennis Quaid?
Dennis
right,
Quaid.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I liked the movie. A lot of people hated it, but I thought it was interesting. It was an interesting life that he led. Remember that show Million Dollar Quartet?
Oh, yeah.
That was in Chicago forever. That was based on the Sun Records Sessions, the famous recording studio in Memphis, at which Jerry Lee Lewis played with the likes of Elvis Presley.
Johnny Cash.
And who was the fourth?
I think it was Carl Perkins.
Carl Perkins, right?
Yeah.
Carl Perkins. So, rest in peace, Jerry Lee Lewis. It's been a terrible year, hasn't it, for celebrity deaths? I mean, you know, it's never a good time, but there's been an inordinate amount of celebrity deaths. Remember in January, the first month of the year, they're dropping like flies every day. I was doing obituaries every day.
Yeah, I remember you posted something like, okay, here we go again, enough. Or something like that. Yeah.
Enough with that, all that. somebody texted Jerry Lee Lewis is not dead because there were
reports that
TMZ.
Somebody jumped the gun.
TMZ reported that he was dead several days before he actually died. They were given erroneous information and they went with it without confirming it. And then they retracted it. But then several days later, Jerry Lee Lewis did pass away. So if anyone's confused, that's the deal with that. It's 9:19, so our big Tree Time Spectacular out in Lake Barrington is shaping up. I'm excited about the show now. We're exactly 2 weeks away. 221-02. What's
Pepper Road, right?
What's the address again?
And it's like Pepper Road. Or?
I knew it. I'm going to get a call at 8:45.
Where am I?
Schwanee? Can you come and pick me up?
I'm at an actual tree farm. I'm in Paw Paw, Michigan. Can somebody help me? I wish I was in Paw Paw.
I know where Paw Paw is. I can
go there. I used to go there to cut down. I used to, when my nieces and nephews were little, Uncle Dean would pile them in the car, and we'd go up there and cut Christmas trees down, for, you know, cut our own Christmas trees. It was fun.
That's where you're going to end up. No. You're going to think it's there rather than...
I just didn't have the exact address in front of me. This is how it starts. This is how it starts. 22102 Pepper Road in Lake Barrington is where we're going to do the show. And we've got a lot of things already lined up for the show. We're going to have performances from the Marriott Lincolnshire's Christmas Story, the musical. That's going to be fun. We're going to have performances from the Paramount Theater's The Sound of Music. That's going to be fun. Frank Ferrante is going to join us from Cabaret Zazu.
Yeah. He was here just last week,
wasn't he? He was just here, a week ago, something, maybe.
You remember that last week?
I remember
you?
Somebody was here. I don't know. Somebody in a costume was here. But it turns out we are going to be able to do this, even though he's got a noon show that day, a noon matinee in downtown Chicago. He's going to come out to Lake Barrington first, spend some time with us, and then zoom back downtown to do his own show at Hotel Cambria.
And not doing the show by Zoom. He's going to Zoom back.
No, he's going to the Zoom the way the word was intended.
Right.
He is going to hurriedly come back downtown. For that. So Frank Ferrante is going to join us for that. Of course, we're super excited that the Eddie Carosa Baby Doll Polka Band is going to be performing live for us that day. Elton Jim Toronto is going to be with us. Listen anyway, as Jim likes to say. And Santa is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be nice.
Well, this is going to be great.
Yeah, it's
Santa. All of us polkaing with the polka band at tree time.
Yep.
This is a party.
And here's my new brilliant idea. You know, we're gonna be on the radio from 9 until 11, and then Hamp and OB come on from 11 to 12, featuring Andy Mazur, the new star of that show. And then we're back on from noon to one. So we're 1 hour. We're off the radio, but it has now been confirmed we will be on Facebook Live.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Yeah. So you'll still be able to watch. Just swing over to, you know, you can either listen to Hamp and OB and Andy, or you can swing over to Facebook Live and listen to us and see what's going to be.
Why can't you do both?
Well, you could do both.
Yeah.
I love that I got a special email this week from management. Telling me that even though we're on Facebook Live, that
we still have to be good.
I'm not allowed to swear.
We have to be good. I know.
Specifically told I'm not allowed to swear.
Did you hear any more about
Have you ever heard me swear?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I just was wondering if you ever heard
me. It might not have been on the air, but.
You have heard me swear?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That'll really swear.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess with you, I swear quite a bit.
At me. Not with, but with at. You.
Most people, I don't swear very much. Schwani, I swear all the time.
At. Yes.
So, anyway, I'm not allowed to swear during...
Did you hear any more about your proposal for the polka show?
No. No, that's still being considered. It's being run up the Nexstar flagpole.
Okay.
To see if... I think I may have missed the WGN music show boat. That ship may have sailed. I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyway, so we'll be on Facebook Live from 11 to 12 and then back on the air at noon. We'll have a special tree time food show. And you know, it's going to be fun. Plus, I have a new brilliant idea for the show that we now don't have time to tell you about.
We've got an hour and a half yet.
I'm going to talk about it. We'll talk about it later. But I've got, Schwani, you're going to love this new idea.
Oh, I can't wait.
This is, you thought when I shot an apple off of your head with a bow and arrow was fun. When we ate unusual, somebody texted me and asked if we're going to be serving haggis again this year. We apparently we had this like some disgusting foods that, to try a couple of years ago. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
yeah. This is even better. My new idea is even better than all of those things. Of something that I want to run. See if you want to do. I'll tell you about it later.
I'm waiting on your every word.
I know you can't wait, but I have to take a break first because the far-flung forecast follows this.
WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, moms and dads, it is time for the far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And here now, with just 1 minute remaining before the news, the clock has started. Dave Schwann.
Good morning. Thank you, Uncle Dean. And friends, get out your compasses and protractors, because today we go to Kingston, New York. Kingston, New York is about 60 miles, 90 miles north of New York.
Maybe you should get your protractor and compass.
I guess I should. 60 miles south of Albany, New York. Population around 24,000, and it is the boyhood home of a man by the name of Howard Koch. Does this name ring a bell
to you? How do you spell that?
K-O-C-H. He pronounces it, sometimes it's pronounced Coke. But he pronounces it Koch.
He's not the billionaire guy, is he?
No. Has nothing to do with any of that at all. Not at all. Okay. Because as a young man, he was studying law, but then got interested in writing and wrote some successful plays. And some years later, around 1935 or so, became connected and worked with Orson Welles. Now, do you know where we're going with this?
Yes,
Orson Welles was the host of the Mercury Theater on the air.
Oh, yes.
And 84 years ago tonight was the War of the Worlds broadcast written by Howard Koch.
Oh, really? I didn't know he wrote
adapted from the H.G. Wells novel.
Right.
That scared a lot of people because of the fact that the way they did it with news bulletins and very, very live sounding sound effects and studio work. The War of the Worlds was aired 84 years ago on the CBS radio network tonight.
People thought that Earth was being invaded by Martians.
Yes.
Literally thought, because of this fake, it's a theatrical broadcast. They made it sound like real bulletins and like it was really happening. And people believed it, and they thought that Earth was being invaded by Martians.
And then when they were, then it was found out that they were, being fooled by this.
Whoops.
A lot of people were upset. But
Oopsie daisy, isn't that why they put in laws that you were not allowed to do stuff like that anymore?
That's right. Yes. Yes, the FCC had something to do with that. But Howard Koch went on.
Thanks for spoiling all our fun, Orson Welles.
Howard went on to have a distinguished career. Among the screenplays that he was involved with was Casablanca.
Oh, really?
With Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. You're the film guy. You should know this.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to
Kingston, New York. Cloudy skies and 35 today.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
The Monster Man.
Oh, look who's at the door looking for trick-or-treat candy. It's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Hello there, young man. How are you?
Good morning, Dean.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Very, very good. Before we get into medical stuff here today, just a couple of quick tips for the kids going out trick-or-treating tomorrow. How careful should they be?
Yeah, I mean, the kids should be careful for their own safety. You know, make sure that they're dressed appropriately. Make sure that anybody can identify them but see them, mainly because it will be dark for a portion of this time. So reflective tape on their costumes is very good. And then make sure that the costumes that they're wearing are safe, that they won't hurt. But probably more importantly, Dean, is protecting those who are handing out the candy, because these little guys are going to run up to your house and yell right in your face and say trick or treat. And then when you give them it, they're going to yell back, thank you. And they're going to be spewing everything right towards you. So wearing a mask today, handing out tomorrow is probably a good idea.
A mask for the people passing out the candy.
Exactly. That's probably the biggest protection right now, okay. Just because we have so much going around right now.
All right. Dave Schwann, in his newscast a couple of minutes ago, one of his stories was we are expecting a rise in COVID cases in the next month or so. Can you explain?
Yeah, we are. You know, we kind of track what's going on in Europe and in the UK. And unfortunately, this new subvariant, this BQ1 and BQ1.1, are really starting to rise in Europe and starting to see much bigger numbers. Hospitalizations, not so much, but certainly the number of cases are up. So we really expect over the next couple of weeks, because we lag a couple of weeks behind them, so we certainly expect that that's going to happen. And we couple that with the number of people who have been vaccinated with the BA4 and 5 subvariant is not really good. So, yeah, we are expecting a big bump here, but it's probably going to impact more of the general public than it is the hospitals.
That's so interesting to me, is that we've got the latest and greatest vaccine out there right now that is treating, you know, what it gives you maximum protection. And so few people are availing themselves of it. I'm just reminded of when vaccines became available and people were waiting in line for hours and going to other cities trying to get the vaccines. And now they're like, I'll get around to it, I guess.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you remember when that first came out, we were seeing record number of deaths, you know, people in the ICU intubated. And now they're seeing it as, well, you know, I guess someone had it, but it's kind of like a really bad cold. So that's a little bit concerning that we're minimizing the infection as much as it is, because it's going to be allowed to mutate. But we also have to couple that with when people aren't getting their COVID vaccine, many of them aren't getting their flu vaccine as well.
Right.
And that's what we're starting to see numbers kind of jump up way higher than we would normally at this time.
Yeah, at least the people that I run into, they're all saying, I haven't got it because I don't want the possible side effects. And as you have pointed out, you know, do you want a day or two of discomfort, or do you maybe want to wind up in the hospital or super sick with some of the things that the flu or COVID could give you?
Absolutely. You know, a little bit of arm soreness and a little bit of a low-grade fever and kind of feeling punky for a day or two is much better than, look at influenza, 10 days of high fevers, body aches, you know, 26 to 35,000 deaths from influenza every year. And we all know what COVID does. Even if the COVID is the BA4, BA5, where we're like, okay, it's not too bad, but boy, I'll take a shot in the arm over the illness anytime, especially knowing that you still have the opportunity to have long COVID, which is very concerning.
Yeah, even the milder form of COVID now, I've had both. I've had it when it was at its worst, and I had it just a few weeks ago, you know, a milder form. It's not so fun with the milder form either. Not as bad as it was with COVID Classic, as I like to call it, but it is still it's still no walk in the park either way. Jim is on the line and has a question related to all this. Hi, Jim. You're on WGN with Dr. Most.
Hi, guys. Dean, you're so right about people not getting vaccinated. But tell me, doctor, are we seeing breakthroughs with people that have been vaccinated for 2 weeks plus with the new vaccine with getting COVID, or is it protecting us like it did with the first vaccine?
Yeah, and Jim, you know, the way you stated the question was excellent, because what we're seeing, and we have to all remember, that first vaccine was not going to stop us from getting COVID. That first vaccine was actually going to stop us from dying or from being hospitalized. But we knew we still had many, many cases of COVID. But you saw once the vaccine came out, the number of deaths and hospitalizations dropped down. With the vaccine that we have right now, it's actually protecting you from getting the illness because it has the circulating strain in the vaccine. We talk about influenza vaccines all the time and say, oh gosh, this year we were at about a 25, 30, 40% match. Well, people have to understand that the COVID vaccine that we have right now is essentially 100% match for what is circulating now. So I like the way you asked the question, because actually you shouldn't have breakthrough cases and it should prevent you from getting ill. But it's going to take a couple of weeks of that vaccine to work. And we still know there's many cases of COVID running around the neighborhoods right now.
That's the story I keep telling my patients, but it's not getting out there. It's just that information about actual protection is not getting out there somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of discouraging.
Yeah, or people are choosing to ignore it. I mean, I've talked to so many people who they know all the facts. They know, and they're like, I think I'm going to wait. I don't want a possible side effect. I don't want a sore arm. You know, I don't want this. I don't want that. But you know, think about what the alternative could be. Jim, thank you very much for a really great question. 815 area code texts in. My kids, aged 10 and 12, got our last booster in July. Can we get the new booster yet? I've heard that we should wait 6 months, but I'd like to go in earlier if I can.
No, they're good right now. As a matter of fact, you know, that age group was just approved not so long ago for the bivalent, so they certainly can. What they got in July was the regular old COVID booster, not the specialty booster with the strains that are going around right now. So they certainly can get those kids vaccinated, and I would. You know, right now we're looking just a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving. We're looking at people being indoors more. We're looking at kids in school. If I had a child in this grade age here, I would certainly make sure they got vaccinated. We can't afford to have kids miss any more school than they already have, and this will protect them from missing school.
Yeah, 847 area code texts in. My wife and I are vaccinated to the max, and we still got COVID. Now, as you just said a moment ago, the vaccine does not prevent you from getting COVID. The vaccine prevents you from dying.
Correct.
Right.
And
right?
It would be interesting to see what their definition of vaccinated to the max is. If they got the BA4 and BA5, you know, and they, I would imagine if they did get it, they got exposed prior to it working, but certainly they ended up not in the hospital, it certainly sounds like, and they probably did quite well, which is really what our goal is. But the newest bivalent, if that's vaccinated to the max, then their cases of COVID should have been very mild and probably not even needing any medication.
Yeah. I have a scenario in the next week or so with somebody, a celebrity, who wants to come on the WGN TV Morning News, A-lister. He is not vaccinated at all, because for medical reasons, he's not vaccinated at all. Is that dangerous to all of the rest of us? I mean, all the rest of us are completely vaccinated. Is, you know, what kind of precautions should we be taking?
Correct. You know, it's interesting. The more concern I would have is for that individual, right? Not vaccinated at all. Well, you guys on the show, all of you have been vaccinated, so you are pretty well protected. I wouldn't be so much concerned. If he's symptomatic, certainly he shouldn't be on the show at all. If he's coughing, has a fever, anything like that,
right,
stay away. And if everyone's concerned, you know, he has a higher chance of carrying it than anyone else because of his non-vaccinated status. Certainly you can put him to the side a little bit and kind of get that, you know, that spacing that we used to highlight
right.
so often,
right,
you know, that
right.
6 foot spacing. And, you know, on the news, Channel 9 News in the morning, you have that capability of at least spacing him a little bit there.
Right. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. But, you know, when's the last time you heard? I mean, you probably do all the time, but I haven't heard of anybody being completely not even one vaccination in years, you know, since this whole thing just started. Dr. Kevin.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the concern there, too, Dean, is the message there. So, I mean, I wouldn't try to highlight that. If he has a medical reason and doesn't want to go down that area on your interview, you know, you don't want to highlight that, because then people go, oh, he's not vaccinated, I don't need to be vaccinated. Yeah, when, right. in fact, he's probably not vaccinated for a very legitimate reason.
Yeah, they tell me, you know, completely medical reasons for that. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, will continue in a moment. Call or to text 312-981-7200. 952, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. We are winding up Breast Cancer Awareness Month tomorrow. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. How are we doing, Dr. Most, in our fight against breast cancer? I know since the very first year that we did our annual breast cancer special, a three or four hour documentary town hall meeting on where we are in the fight against breast cancer. I mean, we've come miles and miles in treating this disease. Is the progress continuing?
Yeah, it is, Dean. And the work that you've done on breast cancer awareness and the specials that you've done, because it really is about the awareness of prevention and the awareness of screening that really hits the home. And certainly, you know, medicine and science has certainly improved as well. You know, the death cancer rates have been decreasing, you know, in the last 20 years, which is nice to see on a regular basis that that's going down. But we still have, you know, over 40,000 deaths from breast cancer. So it's really the awareness and it's early identification. And it's some of the new treatment methods that we have and identification methods that has allowed us to continue to chip away at this illness.
I know during the pandemic, women were not coming in for their annual mammograms because everybody was not going anywhere during the pandemic. Have we bounced back from that? Are we seeing people getting back on the regular schedule again for that?
Yeah, we're in the process of bouncing back. You'll see that mammogram schedules are like, oh, gosh, I can't get in for a couple of weeks. Well, the reason being is that we are catching up now. Individuals that stayed away from hospitals because of COVID might have missed out on that, and now they're coming back, which is great. But we are starting to see some more advanced cancers being found. So certainly the message is, if you put it off during COVID over the last couple of years, please talk to your primary care doctor and get in to get that screening done.
The 708 area code says, I just got over having COVID. I had all four Moderna shots. Fortunately, I did not become too sick. How long should I wait to get the new BA4, BA5 booster?
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people, and this is one of the reasons we think that the vaccine uptake is not as high as it is. A lot of people have had the illness recently, and we've been telling everybody, hey, you've got about 90 days of good natural immunity before it starts to wane. So you have a couple of months here. Now, the CDC initially said, hey, anybody who's had it recently, please wait the 90 days, because they thought there'd be a run on this vaccine. Now that there isn't, they're saying, hey, you know what? Anybody who's had the who's had the virus recently, you can wait a couple of weeks and then get vaccinated, and you'll really just build up your immunity. So it's one of those where you can wait as long as 90 days, you can wait as short as 30 days, but certainly I would make sure that I got it. And right now, again, it comes down to the timing of really those major holidays that are coming up.
Yeah, on the subject of breast cancer again, 773 area code texts, how many weeks after a COVID shot should I wait to get a mammogram? I have a lymph node issue.
Exactly, and it's a great point that I'm glad it was brought up. Really, after you had a COVID vaccine and the vaccination goes in your arm, it can cause an inflammatory response, which we know, right? People say, gosh, I ache, I do this. Well, one of those inflammatory responses is an increased size of lymph nodes, often under the arm, which is visualized when we do mammography. So when we look at first breast cancer, we're looking at enlarged lymph nodes as well. So we're telling people 4 to 6 weeks, let those lymph nodes come down. Because nothing worse than getting a mammogram saying, oh, we found, you know, lymph nodes that are enlarged. Not only does the anxiety go up, but what we have to do to prove that that's not cancer also goes up. So anybody who's gotten the COVID vaccine, 4 to 6 weeks later, go ahead and get your mammogram. And those lymph nodes should be back to their normal size and should not cause any disruption.
Dr. Kevin Mose, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon.
So the Bears taking on the Cowboys today, is that right?
That is correct, in Dallas.
And you will be joining Hamp and OB coming up at 11 o'clock today?
Yeah, less than an hour. We'll be breaking down, and then we'll come back for the post-game show at 3.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Have you told us who you like better, Hamp or OB?
I have not gotten into that and probably won't for safety reasons.
I don't know if you heard that tomorrow Ashwani and I are going trick-or-treating as Hamp and OB.
Oh, that's awesome. That would be really good, actually.
That's news to me.
Ashwani, give us a little OB coming to the door asking for some candy.
Hand it over! I want it now! I'm tired of waiting!
You think I want these circus peanuts? I want some Snickers bars!
Thank you.
And don't give me a little bite-sized candy bar. I want the biggest one you got.
Do I look like I eat bite-sized candy bars to you?
Hamp just standing back, not saying anything.
Just probably laughing.
Laughing. Right.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So you like OB butter then?
I didn't say that at all. Nice try.
Shwani, what's your take on who he likes better?
Oh, I think it's fine.
You're both Weasley cowards.
Everything is
10-11. Dean Richards Sunday morning, pre-Halloween Sunday morning show. WGN. I think this might be the scariest Halloween music of all time. You know, of all the horror movies, I don't mean specifically the movie called Halloween, although that's what this is from. This music gives me the creeps.
It has a very, very dark, sinister sound.
Right. Ominous.
Ominous is the correct word.
Too bad the movie isn't as good as the theme song. I mean, the original movie was, but this latest one was pretty awful. So are you guys ready for Halloween? Do you get trick-or-treaters at your house?
Not anymore.
Get very many.
I live in a building, and when I first moved into the building a long time ago now, if you were going to, offer trick-or-treating, they gave you a pumpkin to put on the door, which let the kids know or the people know that
knock
on this door and you can, have candy. I got one person or maybe two people. That was it.
Yeah.
And I've told so many people this past week when I was, a young guy running around, trick-or-treating was amazing. There were kids all over the neighborhood.
You had to go home and get another receptacle.
Yeah, receptacle, yes.
Yeah, we had paper bags, but a lot of kids had the plastic pumpkins to
put on. Oh, and some had pillowcases.
Pillowcases, yeah.
Seriously.
We had old A&P grocery store bags.
I missed that A&P logo.
Right?
That was a wonderful logo.
That was a good logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were good years for me as your friendly store clerk.
Peeling the potatoes in the back of the...
Well, the bagging.
Or separating.
Bagging.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that
was the worst job
ones.
I ever had. Taking 100-pound bags of potatoes and breaking them down into 5-pound bags. And a lot of times the potatoes have gotten rotten. It was stinky. It was awful. Horrible. Horrible job. Maybe I can recreate that at tree time.
There you go.
Yeah, we can...
stench was beyond all description.
Recreate our worst job. What was your worst job ever, Shwani?
I was a telemarketer.
Oh, that's pretty awful.
And I left after two nights. Yeah. I couldn't take it.
Yeah. Andy, how about you? This job?
No.
Doing this show?
No. You're gonna have to do a lot worse than to make it the worst job I've ever had. Yeah, that was the worst one was the first one, and that was when I was sweeping up hair at the hair salon.
Oh yes.
I did that. Yeah.
I remember you mentioning
that. That's when my boss thought my name was Neil the entire time I was there.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice. I did that too. My aunt and uncle had a beauty salon, and I would come in when the store was closed and sweep up and clean up.
Yeah.
And one night I decided to give myself a haircut.
Oh, wow.
I thought, how hard can this be? I got the electric clippers and took a big slice out of the side of my head. Now I would be very fashionable. That's very fashionable.
That's true.
But back then, not so much. And then my mother takes the eyebrow pencil to try to cover it up. So it was even worse. What a nightmare. Worse. So the big Tree Time show is 2 weeks from today out at Tree Time, 22102 Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. Get there early because it fills up super early, but we're going to be there the full 4 hours from 9 to 1. From 11 to 12, we will be broadcasting on Facebook Live. So you'll be able to hear all the fun, all the excitement. We've got a lot of special guests. Musical performances. Frank Ferrante is going to be there from Cabaret Zazoo. Elton Jim Toronto, of course, is going to be out there. The Eddie Carosa Baby Del Polka Band. But Shwani, here's my new... Unfortunately,
I forgot about this.
Andy is not going to be able to be there with us because he's with his new friend.
No, you mean Neil.
Hamp and OB.
You mean Neil.
Yeah, Neil. That's what? My alter ego.
Neil
will not be joining us.
What do you mean, Neil? What are you talking
That's
about?
That's when the guy at the hair salon called me Neil the entire
time. Oh, Neil.
So yeah, we're going to, it's Neil now.
Yeah. Neil will not be joining us.
Yeah.
but Shawnee will be there. I'll be there. Elton Jim will be there. Producer Jack will be there. It's his first time at Tree Time. But here's my new brilliant idea of what we're going to do this year. I think it's you have to sign off on this as well. Tree Time Karaoke.
Oh, count me in.
Tree Time Karaoke.
Count me in. I'm ready.
What's your song of choice?
Well, I have to think about this for a moment because this is going to be getting into the holidays. So I think a Christmas song would be apropos.
Well, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, though.
All right, then a Thanksgiving song.
You got a Veterans Day song you can sing?
Veterans Day.
We're actually going to be closest to Veterans
Day. You know, I have to say, when I was visiting Gilda in Occoquan, Virginia.
Yes.
And we were at Rehoboth Beach. I did my karaoke debut.
Of what song?
I did New York, New York, Frank Sinatra.
Okay. Well, maybe that's your song of choice then.
Okay, I can do that.
If it were today, for example. Yeah, so there. See, I think this is going to be fun if we do the karaoke. You know Elton Jim.
And invite the audience.
Elton Jim's not going to back away from doing karaoke.
No.
He's going to hog the machine.
He's going to hog the machine, exactly. Yes, that's what I'm thinking, that we invite the audience to join us as well. But what I really would like to do is, like, I think you and I, Shawnee, should do a duet.
And what song do you have in mind?
I don't know.
I think you should do Summer Nights from Greece.
I was thinking that. Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
That's another good one, yeah.
How about You're No Good?
What? How about Reunited? Reunited and It Feels So Good. Or what would be spectacular if we recreate the scene from Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
And you jump into my arms. Singing. Look at the fun we're going to have.
Oh,
no one puts Shawnee in a corner.
Two weeks from today. That's all I got to say.
Just remember how to get there.
I can't guarantee I'm going to be there, but everyone else should be a lot of fun. WGN 1022, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. One of my very, very favorite restaurants in Chicago, celebrating a big anniversary. I was actually shocked when I saw on paper that Twin Anchors Restaurant and Tavern is celebrating its 90th anniversary. I know they've been open, you know, as long as I can remember. I know Sinatra used to, you know, call in and have ribs sent over whenever he was in town. I mean, it's got quite a history. And it's always packed, but 90 years, and Twin Anchors is getting ready for a huge celebration. Joining us on the phone line right now is Gina Manrique, one of the owners. Gina, hello there, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Really great to have you on with us. Talk to me a little bit about how all of this got started. I got to think of a grandparent may have been involved in all this, huh?
Oh, from my family? No, actually, my father, we're the third owners. We're the longest running owners. At this point, we've been running it since 1978, 44 okay. years now.
All right.
But my dad was in the insurance business for 25 years before that, and he handled the insurance for the previous owners.
Oh.
So that's how we got involved.
Okay, yeah. So talk to me about the beginnings, though, of Twin Anchors. I mean, you certainly must know the original history, right?
Sure. Yeah, the original two owners had met up in around 1930 or so. Herb Aldean was the harbor master at Monroe Harbor, and he met up with Bob Walters, who was probably, among other things, running a speakeasy over on Grand Avenue. And they got together, you know, between the one's experience with the speakeasy and the other being a harbor master and having access to, you know, the lakes during Prohibition mm-hmm. between here and Canada. They got together and bought this building. And it opened as Twin Anchors in 1932.
So that's where the name comes from, then. The Anchors part is part of the maritime history. I never knew that.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people come in thinking that we're going to have fish. Every once in a blue moon, somebody will actually come in and say, oh, we thought you were a fish restaurant. Now I guess we'll have to look for something else. I mean, we have a couple of fish items, but that's not our primary items. Yeah.
Yeah. Has Twin Anchors always served ribs? I mean, is the menu pretty much intact from the early days?
We've added a few items over the years, you know, here and there, and a couple of sauces. Our mild sauce was the original sauce that Mrs. Walters had prepared up in her kitchen. The kitchen was originally in the apartment above the restaurant on the second floor.
Okay.
And she started serving food nightly to the patrons, even though it was more, you know, it was more of a drinking establishment. But she would have a fish fry on Fridays and, you know, probably chicken one night and other items. But the ribs are the ones. You know, that wasn't a very popular dish for people to make in their homes at that time.
Right.
And so that became the most popular, and they eventually started making that nightly.
Yeah, and it's really, that's your signature now then, right?
It is, correct.
Yeah.
We have barbecue baby back ribs, our specialty.
Yeah, which are, among the very best in the city. And although you say that mild sauce was your original, you can't beat that zesty sauce that you have. That is my favorite barbecue sauce of all barbecue sauces.
Oh, thank you. Well, my brothers will thank you. They came up with that around 1980.
That's about about when I started going there, right around 1980, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I coincide with your zesty sauce. Maybe that's why I like it so much.
Probably. Because now we have the Prohibition sauce, too, that from 2010. We've had people starting to ask for spicier, you know, something a little bit spicier.
Okay, all right. I also love, I mean, it's a terrific place, so much so that it's actually been used in for the making of some motion pictures, right?
Yes, that is correct. Yes. Bonnie Hunt had been a longtime customer, so when she would be around Second City, her husband had brought her in. He was actually a customer before she came in. And over the years, you know, she when she decided to direct her first feature film, Return to Me, she used us as well as other places around Chicago for the filming. And we were shut down for 14 days over a period of about a month to do that with her.
It's got to be the longest time that you were ever shut down, I'll bet, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're only closed 5 days a year.
Right. But, I mean, to have not only Bonnie Hunt, but the great Carol O'Connor, he was the restaurant owner. And you know, who else? David Duchovny and Minnie Driver.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia, right, of course.
Yeah.
Part of that, just part of this great history. And things are going strong. A lot of restaurants, you know, have trouble surviving 1 or 2 years. You guys are going on your 90th. You have big celebrations coming up?
We do, yes. We're going to be celebrating throughout the month of November with some weekly and nightly specials. Every Tuesday in November, we're going to be, unfortunately, we can't roll back our rib prices to what they were in 1932, because I think that would be maybe 75 cents. So.
Yeah, right.
So we're going to roll it back to $19.32.
Oh, nice.
In honor of the year that we opened. And then on Mondays and Wednesdays, we'll have a $5 beer special. We have nice pint glasses with our 90th logos that was designed by my brother-in-law. And if you buy a pint for $5, you get a free beer in it, and you get to take the pint home, of course.
Oh, very nice.
And each night, there'll be a gift for the 90th customer.
Oh, that is really nice. That's really nice. Yeah. I love that this is a family-run restaurant. I love that not much has changed.
No.
You know, that it's pretty much intact. A lot of places, you know, would have, you know, cha-cha'd the place up and ruined it. But you've kept the original charm, and the food is always great, and your wait staff is always spectacular. I can't think of too many more restaurants that I love as much as I love Twin Anchors. So happy anniversary to all you guys over there.
Oh, thank you so much. We hope we see you soon.
Yeah, we'll be definitely stopping by. Give us the address, phone number, website, all that, if people want to come by and join in the fun.
Sure. We're in the Old Town neighborhood at 1655 North Sedgwick. And we're at twinanchorsribs.com is our website.
Twinanchorsribs.com.
All one word.
Happy 90th anniversary. Gina Manrique, thank you so much.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.
Take care, Dean. Bye-bye.
10:36, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Getting ready for Hampton OB and Andy Mazur at 11 o'clock today. We've got time to get a couple of more things in here on our show today. Talking about Twin Anchors celebrating their 90th anniversary. Another Chicago institution is worthy of some discussion. You know, Chicago is very well known as one of the great comedy capitals of America, thanks to Second City and thanks to Improv Olympic, I.O., that was founded by the legendary Del Close and our old friend Sharna Halpern. I.O. had been in several locations around the Chicago area before settling in to a new location in the Clyburn Corridor. The pandemic comes along, and I.O., with so many other theaters and institutions, all shut down. The building was sold. I.O. did not survive, but is rising once again. The Improv Olympic, the new I.O. theater, is about to reopen. It's been purchased by a trio of gentlemen who want to make it its former self again. Among them, the co-owner Steve Sachs, who joins us on the line right now. Steve, congratulations on that. I think this is so exciting.
Oh my God, Dean, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. You know, I'm slightly nervous. I've never done a radio interview before.
Well, I'll rake you over the coals pretty good then. Well, just for my own enjoyment. No, you'll be you and I just having a conversation. Not a big deal, but how exciting is this? I mean, for you guys to take over a theater that was you know, shut down when, you know, theaters all over America were shutting down and driven into bankruptcy and so forth. You and your partners came into this and put in some extensive renovations and are set to go crazy with this again. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. You know, we are so thrilled and so excited. And, you know, we're talking to performers and stage managers and audience members who used to just love going to I.O. and felt bereft when it closed. And there's a lot of buzz. And, you know, we've assembled this incredible staff because, you know, my partner, Larry Weiner, Scott Gendel, and I, you know, really know nothing about theater or running a comedy theater. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we went to some people who really know what they're doing,
right,
to help us recruit an amazing staff.
Yeah, from other theaters and theater companies around the Chicago area. But is it going to be similar? I mean, it used to be that when you, well, in the early days when you go to I.O., you know, you get performers, you know, just trying out material. I mean, it was as raw as it could possibly be. But as the years went by, the shows became more refined. There were classes. I interviewed John Cleese at Improv Olympic. He had done a couple of nights of, I don't remember exactly what the performance was, but I remember one of Monty Python's originators at I.O. It became quite sophisticated. Is your plan to, you know, build it back up with all kinds of different shows again?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We've been working really for the last 5 months with our staff to develop 25 new shows, different improv shows with talent just from Chicago. There's an unbelievable sort of wealth of improvisers who live and reside. There's almost a subculture here in Chicago. So we have 25 performances each week. Tickets are on sale at ioimprov.com right now for these shows. And, you know, we also just had auditions for our own ensemble of local talent. We put out a call for auditions and within a day got 500
wow.
Applicants with 4 years plus experience of improv. And we auditioned them. And I mean, we just could not believe the talent that's out there.
Yeah, I'm not one bit surprised. I mean, the way theaters were crippled by the pandemic, so were all the performers, the behind the scenes crew, the people that sold tickets, the people that sold popcorn, you know, like everybody was affected. So the idea that three entrepreneurs come in and start, you know, saying, let's rebuild, let's put on a show, let's rebuild this and put on a show had to be so exciting to the creative community in Chicago, the comedy community here in Chicago. What's the plan for all this to get started and get things up and running?
So we are opening next week. So we're opening on the 3rd, and it's sort of a soft opening. We have, again, those shows that are on sale. And, you know, we're opening in January in-person classes. And we have, you know, our Rachel Mason, who's our director of education, she's recruited teachers who have, I don't know, 10 or 15 Emmy Awards among them to give the community, you know, improv classes, to have classes on writing for comedy shows. You know, we're going to have just a full training center operating, you know, starting in January. We have online classes now. And the shows, you know, we have a creative staff. You know, it's very collaborative how we pick sort of performers and teams to perform. But, you know, IO has always been an incubator. You know, when you have alums like Jason Sudeikis and Bob Odenkirk, Tina Fey, yep. Amy Poehler, they went there to experiment. And as you say, you know, to do some just raw improv. So, you know, we want to have established shows that people always love, like improvised Shakespeare, but also to develop our own, you know, talent and teams. And that's, I think, what we're most excited about.
Yeah, I can't tell you the number of times, you know, if I'm in New York or Hollywood or, you know, someplace and talking to actors who have some Chicago roots, they all went through IO. They all, you know, spent some time at IO and kind of cut their teeth learning comedy at IO. So you have a pretty rich history there. People want to get information about the new IO. What's the best way to do that, to learn about your shows and get tickets for your productions and classes and all that?
Oh my God, I love that question. Thank you. We are launching a new website. It was supposed to be up a couple of days ago, a little delayed. Next week, right now you can go to ioimprov.com and buy tickets online for shows and sign up for classes. And we'll have our full website up hopefully by the end of this week. And that'll have information on our just incredible staff. And that's how you can, you know, people can learn about it.
Okay. ioimprov.com. And let's see here in my notes, I've got your address. It's the same location, right? In the Clyburn Quarter, 1501 North Kingsbury, just south of North Avenue and just west of Halsted. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yes, it's right in front of that huge Whole Foods supermarket.
Right. I call that the Disneyland Whole Foods. Because when you go in that place, you have to have, you got to have a game plan when you go in that Whole Foods. It's the biggest store I've ever seen in my life. And IO is right across the street. I'm so happy for you guys. Congratulations. I can't wait to learn more about it and come out and we'll do some things on television to, let everybody know that IO is back. Congrats.
Oh, my gosh, Dean, thank you so much. You're so kind on this interview. And, I really want to just invite people. We think we've created just a cozy, safe space where people could just come and we're hoping to create a joyful experience and a hilarious time. Yeah, so thank you.
You're very welcome. So how do you think you did in your first interview?
I think I sort of sucked a little bit, but I think you were so gentle. You were very gentle, and I've heard that you're not always so gentle.
Sometimes I'm not. Yeah, sometimes I'm only if you have earned it. I can sometimes be a little, honest, really. But I don't think you sucked at all. I think you did a really great job, and I look forward to meeting you in person. Steve Sachs is CEO of the new IO Improv Olympics. Thanks, Steve. Have a great day today.
Dean, thank you. You too.
10:50. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And Happen OB coming up with Andy Mazur. Chicago Bears pregame at 11 o'clock this morning. I have some time to talk with my pal over at WGN-TV, Mr. Ray Cortopassi, who you see on the WGN Evening News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. Ray is out and about this morning, along with WGN Radio's Ryan Burrows. Ray, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. Hey, it's great to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And you've got yourself a nice morning to be doing good out in the community for Jewish Community Center's Sunrise Association. Tell us more about that.
This is a brand new endeavor here, and you can probably hear a little bit of the Lake Zurich High School Marching Band that was getting the crowd all excited here for this inaugural walk to support a brand new day camp to support the families of children who are undergoing cancer treatment, not only for those young men and women, but also their siblings, and free of charge. And next, our parent company, along with WGN, saw that this was a very worthwhile cause to be a part of. And so here we are getting ready for this big kickoff this summer where kids will be able to enjoy JCC Chicago here in Lake County. In Lake Zurich, they'll be able to enjoy all of the benefits of an awesome summer day camp for a period of weeks. And it's the very first one here in the Midwest. They've got a number of camps in New York, in Baltimore, Atlanta, and a few in Israel. But this is the first one in the Midwest, and they are very excited to get this off the ground.
Yeah, this has really got to be special. I know similar types of camps kind of tailor their services and activities for the kids who are going through treatment. And they work on making the kids feel as special as possible, as normal, quote, normal as possible, despite whatever medical issues they may have going on.
Well, I love the way the president of the organization described this. He said when they started this out, I think in 2006 or so, they didn't set out to just make a day camp for kids who are living with cancer, but they wanted to put together the best camp experience possible, and they wanted to be sort of a full wonderland. So if you can picture all of the camp activities, they do that, but they also do everything associated with nature. They have these unique activities. There is music. They do songs. They do sports. And again, it comes at no cost to the families who are, you know, sometimes really compromised, struggling to pay the bills that are associated with taking care of their child. So this is just a great situation where they can get out there and make friends and do something that just takes them away from their normal lives with treatment.
Yeah. Now this Sunrise Walks that's taking place this morning, is that being held where the camp itself will ultimately be? I believe out in Lake Zurich, right?
That's right. That's right. We're here at the JCC grounds, 37 acres. And there are a few people that are just now finishing up the walk here, but it started this morning. And, you know, some people here have been touched by childhood cancer, but the vast majority just saw that, you know, they would like to be a part of something that is helping families be a part of something special here. And so that will all take shape next summer here, but they are laying the foundation, and they're doing it in a way that just feels really, really great. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of smiling folks here. It's just a wonderful start to the day here and a start to something great.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to not feel good and be motivated by working on a project that's helping children in general, but kids who are facing special challenges like one of the childhood cancers. It's a very, very special. So good for JCC for putting all this on. Good for you. Good for Ryan Burroughs for being out there to help kick it all off. And I believe if people want to get more information, is it jccchicago.org to get more info?
That's right. jccchicago.org/sunrise. And that will give you a snapshot of what the work involves here. The bigger organization is sunriseassociation.org. If you go to that website, they have a really great video that shows what the camp is all about. They also told the story of a 14-year-old boy who went there for a period of years, who eventually lost his battle. But he brought his little sister along, and guess what? She got to still be a part of the camp, and it was a way for her to remember her brother Jordan, who fought so bravely. And so that is what's just so unique about this, to involve the families in a way that they do that is just life-affirming.
That's so great. jccchicago.com/sunrise, right? That's to get more info?
jccchicago.org.
.org, okay, to get the info on that. Ray Cortopassi, who you see on WGN TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10, always good to talk with you. I don't see you enough over at the TV place because we're at opposite ends of the clock. But always,
I know.
Always
well, I
good
love,
to talk
I
to you.
I love your work, Dean. You know that.
Likewise.
Thank you so much.
Likewise. Thank you, Ray, for joining us. Have a great day out there. We'll